May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." In other words, they were saying to Jesus, "Help, we are getting in over our heads." Just before this, in Luke's gospel, Jesus was teaching some very difficult things. Difficult for the apostles, difficult for us. He told them the need to care for the little ones, the ones who are just beginning their spiritual development. And he told them that, yes, they were required to forgive someone more than 7 times. 70 times 7, said Jesus, which really meant there is no end to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a requirement of faithful living. It must have seemed like he was asking too much. And so they said, "Increase our faith." Who among us has not cried out to God at least once a similar cry for help? Perhaps during a loved one's illness or our own, or the death of a beloved, or a painful separation in the family, a divorce, or a failure at work or school, or a failure in an important relationship. Who has not, at least once, felt inadequate to the task in front of her? Who has not cried out at least once to God, "Help me, increase my faith"? I think we can empathize with the apostles. But Jesus' answer then might seem very strange. This gospel passage raises the questions, what is faith? What do we mean when we use the word faith? And is that different from how the apostles used it or how Jesus used it? Well, the short answer is no and yes. The apostles seem to be thinking of faith as a substance that you could measure, something you could have more of. Increase our faith, they said. But Jesus' answer shows a different understanding of what faith actually is. It may help to go back a bit and look at how our Christian tradition has defined faith over the ages. Marcus Borg, a great theologian who died just a year or two ago, has written a lot that's helpful in this regard. Until the Enlightenment, faith was generally considered to mean several things all at once. Faith has to do with a relationship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. So faith meant faithfulness to that relationship that we have with the triune God. It also meant and means trust. Faith meant trusting in God. And finally, faith had and has to do with a way of seeing the world, seeing the way that God would have us see. Seeing the world as good, creation as good, seeing all people as beloved by God. Faith, then, was a relationship full of trust, leading to a way of seeing that enables one to more fully participate in God's work in the world. Do you hear what is missing from this definition? A way that we usually use the word faith today? We'll get back to that in a minute. Interestingly, to me anyway, yesterday's post from the Society of St. John the Evangelist, which is called Brother, Give Us a Word, the word was faith. Each day, one of the brothers posts a paragraph about a word from our spiritual tradition. So yesterday's word was faith, and this is what Brother David Vryhoff has to say about faith. Faith is not believing that certain claims or statements about God are true. Genuine faith presumes a relationship with God. It implies a radical trust in God, faithfulness in one's relationship with God, and a way of seeing the world as life-giving and nourishing, rather than as hostile and threatening. The same definition of faith that was held by the church all the way up until the Enlightenment. But today, most people use the words faith and belief interchangeably as the same thing. We believe that certain things are true, and that means we have faith. We use that way, don't we? But that's a very narrow definition of faith, and even that definition didn't come into prominence until the Enlightenment, that emphasized, really almost to the exclusion of everything else, emphasized intellectual understanding. Faith is not an intellectual exercise, although the intellect is part of it. So that definition of faith is simply what we think, or a set of propositions about God that we believe, is really a narrow definition. And it's not the definition of faith that Jesus was interested in. Faith is not a matter of degree, Jesus tells the apostles. Faith is not a substance that you can measure. Faith is. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus says. Faith is a relationship with the divine, with God. Faith is an orientation towards life. So the apostles were confused. They don't need more faith. They need to be reminded about what faith is. They need to be reminded of the faith that they already have. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians gives us the great Protestant statement, we are saved by grace through faith. That is opposed to we are saved through works, although they're really all of a piece. Paul writes, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We are saved by grace through faith. means that grace is given to us by God, and that our faith is also a gift from God. Of course, you can always refuse God's gifts, but the offer is always there. So faith begins with God, not with us, and with God's offer of relationship. Or another way of putting it, John Shea wrote, "Faith results from people opening to and responding to God's initiating action." So having faith does not mean that we just have to believe a whole long list of things, although there are some core beliefs that are central to our tradition. And having faith does not mean that we never have any doubts or that we never cry out to God, increase our faith. Doubt is a part of faith, and our tradition is particularly good at welcoming people's questions. What matters really is where we put our faith, who our faith is in, is what matters. If we give ourselves to our relationship with God, if we put our trust first in God above all else, if we begin to see the world as God would have us see it, then, Jesus says, nothing is impossible for us with God. That's what Jesus was trying to teach the apostles with all the talk of impossible mulberry trees being uprooted and planted in the sea.